grateful that we have been able to gather here this morning for that express purpose. We pray and ask that we might have some insight and wisdom as we continue our study of the book of Leviticus. In Christ's name, amen. All right, in Leviticus chapter number 12, you're going to be given what is referred to as the law of purification in reference to a woman that has a man-child or a woman-child. This is a very interesting chapter, and but we're just going to touch some real brief highlights upon it. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child. All right, now jump ahead there, if you would, at verse 5. And if she bear a maid-child. So the first couple of verses are going to talk about what she's got to do if she bears a man-child, and then, of course, if she bears a maid-child, and then what she's supposed to do after that. So go back to verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then shall she be unclean 7 days according to the days of the separation from her, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. All right, what's going on there? If she gives birth to a man-child, first of all, how long is she unclean according to the days of her separation? Okay, first of all, she's unclean 7 days, whether it's a man or a woman child. Okay, she's unclean 7 days. After the birth, that... It means same thing, unclean. She can't touch any hollow thing. She can't go to the temple, anything like that at all. Yeah, she can't go in the sanctuary. She's totally separate. Her husband's got to stay away from her, that kind of thing. Yeah. So, now, if it's a man-child, after she's unclean for 7 days, and then on the 8th day, they take the man-child and circumcise him, and then how many additional days is she unclean? Okay, so you've got 7 plus 33, and then we'll come back to that in a second. Look at verse 5. But if she bear a maid-child, then shall she be unclean how many weeks? Okay, so actually that's going to be 14 there. And then, look what it says there. She shall, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. So here you're going to add how many days? How many total days on each of these? Okay, you've got 40 and you've got 80. Isn't that interesting? So for that duration, she can touch no hallowed thing. She can't come into the temple. Now, the question is why? You just figured out why we're going to do this really fast, right? What? Yeah, yeah. Okay, chapter 13 now. Okay. I got to tell you this. I heard J. Vernon McGee I'll bet it was, of course he's with the Lord for a number of years now, but I heard him on a recording. I'll bet it was about 8-10 years ago. And it was, interestingly enough, it was his Mother's Day message. And he taught the Mother's Day message out of this chapter right here, Leviticus chapter number 12. Isn't that interesting? And I'll tell you, it was a powerful message. It was an incredible message. And the point he brought out, and I thought it was quite good, and I think it certainly bears the issue. Well, first of all, why is she unclean for having a child? Whether man or woman, bottom line, she's unclean. Why? Fundamentally, why? Okay, that's okay. The first section here, when she's unclean, the 7 and then the 14, that's with the regular issue, the cycle and so forth, okay, for you ladies, just and so forth. So you got the blood, obviously. But why is she unclean?
It's
for her purifying. Yeah? But why? What's going on here? Why? That's exactly right. That's the issue right there. That's the issue. I remember, like I say, I heard J. Vernon McGinnis a number of years ago, and his Mother's Day message was on that chapter right there. It was a very powerful message. And he talked about the fact that, you know, giving birth and reproducing was something that God designed all along, obviously, anyway, in the garden. It's something, on the one hand, it's good, it's important, it's needful for the perpetuation of society, the human race, for the bringing forth of the Messiah. But the problem is, the underlying issue is, you know what? She gives birth to a man, and what did she just do? Yeah. And then in giving birth to a woman, what did she do? What's that? Why? No. But why? Why? What's that? Yeah. See that? Okay. See, the man carries the seed, right? Except in Genesis it talks about the seed of the woman. Isn't that interesting? Don't we say the man has the seed but the woman has the egg? Don't we say that? But Genesis says the seed of the woman. So fundamentally the reason she's unclean, the birth is joyful. I mean, it's extension of life. It's what obviously God intended for humanity and so forth. But the problem is, it's the perpetuation of sin. And she's unclean here because she's, you know, as wonderful as it is, she's unclean because she's brought a man and a woman. And then you've got you've got the capacity to produce a whole lot more, which is kind of interesting. And I wish I would have gotten a copy of that message. It was a powerful, powerful message, really good message, and it was a Mother's Day message. But, probably the moms didn't want to hear that message on Mother's Day, but it was as wonderful as it was to bring a child into the world. When you bring that child into the world, you've brought another sinner into the world. Now, the good news is, of course, that eventually what happens is that the Savior is brought into the world. Let's keep reading down through the passage here. Watch what happens. Verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb the first year for the burnt offering, a young pigeon and a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. Now, look at the next verse here. This is interesting. Because what if she's too poor? What if she can't afford this, the lamb and so on? And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, the one for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Remember that the two offerings, you've got a burnt offering, and you've got a sin offering. What was the difference between the two? What did the sin offering focus on? Their sin, the total consumption of that nature of sin. The sin offering focused on the sin, that nature that was the problem. So she reproduced that nature. What was the burnt offering? That was the one, the total consumption. Okay, total dedication. All right. Now, that's correct. Well, what she has to do, she by faith has got to bring this. She's bringing this, recognizing that she's bringing that sin offering because she brought another sinner into the world, and that really that the one that's the burnt offering is a total consumption of, and that sin's got to be totally paid for, a totally dedicated life kind of a thing.
She's actually apologizing for giving birth.
You well, yeah. Okay. Okay, that's exactly where we're going now. And the reason I wanted to emphasize, I asked the question, what if they're too poor? Go with me now, if you would, to Luke chapter number 2. Now, go with me to Luke chapter number 2, and notice what it says here in Luke chapter 2. That's right, in the New Testament. So hold on to Leviticus 12 there. You're going to, by the way, your Bible's going to help you define or understand something here. If you look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, Luke 2:21, it says this, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Okay, so you know why they're doing that. All right. verse 22 now. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Here's the parentheses. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. What does she bring? She brings the poor man's offering. You betcha.
Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord?
Yes. Yeah, that's separated. Yeah. Yeah. Look at verse 24 again. She brings the poor man's offering. She and Joseph bring the poor man offering. What's that tell you about them?
Poor.
Yeah, exactly.
What they do with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh they got?
They had to use that. That comes later on. That's like 2 years after this. Yeah. That's after this. Yeah. That's a great question. Yeah.
That's 2 years later.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
That's long. That's later. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, as a couple, they would bring this.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Didn't have to go by herself?
No. As a couple, they would go. Yeah, they're bringing their child. Husband and wife would come and present the son.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, during her uncleanness, but she's clean by this point.
Yeah. Does
she have to separate herself from her husband? Yes. Yeah. So what happens is that they bring a poor man's offering, and that's significant because when you think about here, you've got the king of the universe. And he's born into not the wealthy family. He's born into the poor man's family. Isn't that interesting?
And they didn't bring them into the world when they still had to.
Yeah.
They didn't bring them into the world with them, but they still had to.
Yeah.
To fulfill the law.
Yeah, that's what exactly correct. Yeah. And he's fulfilling. They're fulfilling the law. He's fulfilling the law. It's a perfect type and everything. But isn't that interesting that here, you know, a short little chapter in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12. I mean, it's only 8 verses, right? Short little chapter. You know, you think, okay, well, why is that here? Well, you know why it's here now. Okay, fundamentally, it's here. It winds up fulfilling prophecy. And one of the things, again, I remember that J. Vernon McGee mentioned. Wasn't simply that she that back here, you know, that Jewish mother, she would bring another sinner into the world, But finally, the one brings the Savior in the world. And the reason that she also still has to bring the offering is because he himself is going to wind up being the offering to sin. Isn't that incredible? Go ahead.
We know from some different studies we've had recently that the scribes and Pharisees had corrupted a lot of stuff.
Yes.
It's interesting, from Leviticus here, it hadn't changed. That portion had not changed
anyhow. Yeah. Meaning what she was supposed to bring?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. She brought exactly.
They were corrupting and selling the people all kinds of
things. All kinds of additions. Yeah.
A game over there at the temple, selling, buying, and selling.
Yes. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. And let me ask you if this is a mistake in your Bible. Look back at Leviticus 12. And of course, you know the answer already, right? But look back at. Yeah. Hold your place in Luke there. Hold your place in Luke 2 and get Leviticus 12 and look at Leviticus 12:8. See, because this is a mistake in your Bible. Leviticus 12:8 says, and if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles. But over here in Luke 2, it says she brings two turtle doves. And a turtle is not a dove. So that's a mistake in your Bible, right? I'm sorry? What? Wait, this one says she's supposed to bring two turtles. This one says she brings two turtle doves. So it's a mistake. What do you mean? No, I didn't hear what you said.
She said it's an idiomatic name for
turtle doves. Meaning what, though? Meaning what? Yeah, and that is the answer. That's exactly the answer. Yeah. Okay. Now, not only that. If you remember back in Leviticus 11:29, how do you know it's not turtle? And I'm not saying the word turtle is wrong, but the point is when it says turtles there or pigeons, they knew it was turtle doves. There you go. Exactly. See that? So it's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. Exactly correct. Yeah. Turtles, tortoises, they were unclean. Yeah. So it's not a mistake in your Bible. Instead, one passage helped you understand another passage. See what just happened there? One helped to explain the other. That's not the only passage, by the way, in the Old Testament that used the word turtle and it meant turtle doves. There's some others. We're not going to look at them right now. Let's move on. Any questions on that?
One thing we have mentioned is the circumcision on both situations mentioned there.
Yes.
Which is also the cutting out the flesh.
Yes.
It looks like God takes action
right off the bat. Exactly correct. Yes. Good point. What he said about the issue of the circumcision on the eighth day there. Don't delay to take care of that sin. Yeah, that's good.
It's significant that it being on the eighth day.
Yes. Yeah. What is the eighth day?
There
it is. That's exactly correct. It's interesting that, you know, when you think about numbering systems, our numbering system is a base 10 system, right? We go from 0 to 9, and then what do? We go 0 to 9, and then 0 to 9, right? And so, that should be 20. Yeah, okay, and so forth. So in our counting system, we use a base 10 system, but in the Bible uses more than just a base 10 system. The Bible uses, for with reference to creation stuff, it uses a base 7 system, right? He goes 1 through 7, and then it starts over again, day 8. Isn't that interesting? When he circumcised the eighth day, it's the new beginning. Yeah, isn't that fascinating? Okay, now, let's do this. These next two chapters are quite detailed about the issue of leprosy. And there's just no way we're going to get all the details about it, but I do want to encourage you this week to make sure and read chapter 13 and 14. And not just these two chapters, but the next several chapters are about uncleanness within the people, within the nation, within clothing, within the houses. And it's amazing what he does here. You want to ask the question, why does God take the time to tell Israel, give Israel, of all the possible diseases that they were going to have, why take so much time on the issue of leprosy? Just kind of begin to think about that as we proceed here. So look at chapter 13 now. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of the sons of the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him, what's it say there? Jump ahead to verse 8. Last part of the verse. Then the priest shall pronounce him, what's it say there? Unclean. It is a leprosy. Look at verse 22, middle of the verse. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. Verse
20.
What's that? Well, it's, okay. And then look at verse 25, towards the last part of the verse. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. Look down at verse 27. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. Look at verse 44 now. Jump ahead to verse 44. And he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. Jump back, if you would, to verse 38. We're going to come back to there in just a second here. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is clean. And if a man whose hair has fallen off his head, he is bald, yet is he clean. So, you're okay here? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I read this verse just for Ken here. No. No, but look at the next one. Yeah. You didn't know he was in the Bible, right? Look, there you go. Okay. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, his forehead bald, yet is he clean. And if there be in the bald head or the bald forehead a white reddish sore, everybody look real quick and see. No, okay. All right. It is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon him and so forth. Look at verse 43. Look at the detail here. Then the priest shall look upon it. That little phrase there, then the priest shall look upon it, that here appears about 8 or 10 times throughout this whole chapter. Now watch this. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head, or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. All right. Now, think with me for just a moment about the fact that in this chapter, they're supposed to bring the individual, whether it's something in the skin or the forehead or the foot or, you know, arm, leg, whatever, and they're supposed to bring this individual to the priest. Now, what is the priest supposed to do? Okay. Examine. Examine the flesh. What's that?
Like a doctor.
Now, what's implied in that? What's implied in that?
One thing that I see is if this guy better not be practicing malpractice. He better have control of that means.
Okay, there we go.
Diagnosing is unclean to be not.
Exactly. And vice versa. Exactly. Now, what if the priest doesn't know? What if he looks at something and he's, boy, he's just not sure, it's a little too early to tell. Go back to the first part of the chapter here. Look at verse 4. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. So what's he do with this man? He quarantines him. Keep going. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. Why? It's not clear yet. Which way is this thing going to go? Keep going. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him what? Why? It's just a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. So what's the impression that you get about the high priest here? Or the priest's sons, because one of the sons could do it too. What's that? Okay. He had to be meticulous with these diagnoses. Good. What else? If he wasn't sure, I mean, now he's going to have to take and quarantine this guy. This guy can't see. This guy cannot go into the temple. He can't even go into his own house. He can't go see his wife, family, kids. They can't hug him. He can't hug them. He's got to set this guy apart. 7 days. Come back. Let's look at him again. Not sure yet. 7 more days. Come back again. Not sure yet. 7 more days. Now make your decision. There you go. There's a lot of things going on. He had to be meticulous. He had to make sure that this thing didn't spread throughout the camp. But by the same time, he wouldn't want to declare somebody unclean that it was simply a scab. What's that? You bet. So what's the picture you're getting of the high priest, or the priest who's looking at this? Man, he needs to be very careful looking out for the people as well as this person. Don't you get the idea here that God, in these instructions to the high priest, that the high priest is not just to come along, take 1 second, okay, you're out of here, get out of my face. No, no, no. He's supposed to take and look at that thing and check the verses. Okay, does it look like it's deep? Does it appear to be deeper in the skin? Is it kind of reddish? He's going to have to really think about this before he pronounces this man clean or unclean. So on the one hand, you get a clear picture that the priest here is supposed to be very, very careful and thoughtful and know what he's doing when these individuals are brought before him. If it's pretty clear right from the get-go that this is leprosy, he immediately pronounces this guy a leprous man, a plague of leprosy. But if he's not sure, he's not supposed to make a rash decision. When you compare that idea to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the high priests, did they make a lot of rash decisions? Thoughtless decisions? What's that?
A rash decision.
That was pretty bad. A rash decision. Yeah. That's one of those editing spots, okay?
Yeah.
Go to stand in the corner. Now. Well, that didn't get ahead of you, believe me. That one was. Yeah. Anyway. So, on the one hand, you've got the high priest that is supposed to be real thoughtful and careful about what he does. On the one hand, he's got to protect the nation from this possible spread of leprosy, the plague of leprosy. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to make a decision too fast if he's not sure.
And let's be ahead that when Joshua was finally going into the land, they overlooked a lot of stuff.
They sure do.
And it was due to the high priest?
After, during Joshua's lifetime, the nation did pretty well. So it was after Joshua died and then the priest died and so forth. Then they really go, yeah, because then you go into the period of the judges where they all begin to go downhill. Yeah, yeah.
The type of unclean flesh.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure you're giving it.
Okay.
Was leprosy or actual skin disease really prevalent back then?
They became. Yes, they became. Remember, one of the things that God told Israel is that if you keep my law, I will put none of these plagues upon you. So when they begin to start seeing leprosy, what's the message to the nation? We're messing up. Yes, sir. See that? Now, there was a lot of leprosy. We're trying to get there. Okay, we'll see how we do time-wise. Okay, but you're exactly right, because that's a key issue here, if we can get there. Now, what... we talked about it from the priest standpoint, and from the people's, the nation's standpoint, you're quarantining that guy because you want to protect them from the spread of this thing. Let's think about it from the individual who has this thing. He comes to the priest, he's not sure what it is. What's he doing? What's that? You betcha. Why? Well, if he is pronounced leprous, go to verse 44 again. Verse 45, make it verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Total isolation. Total separation. And he's got to declare himself to be unclean constantly. He can't go into the temple. Who was in the temple? He can't go into the tabernacle of congregation. I mean, that's where the meeting place with God was. He can't go among the priests. He can't go among his family. Totally separated. Can't provide, cannot work, nothing.
No commonwealth.
No commonwealth, no share.
So,
what's that?
How was that thing cured?
Well, it's interesting because it doesn't actually seem to be cured, but what does happen, I back here, it is going to get healed. And the question you brought up, about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if we can get there in a second, we will. But what does happen in certain cases, this is very interesting. If you look at verse, let me see if I can find it real quick. Look over to verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. So this guy is totally covered with this, right? But look at the next verse. Then the priest shall consider. See that? He's got to be thoughtful in this. And behold, if the leprosy have covered all of his flesh, he shall pronounce him what? Well, why?
Can't get no worse.
Can't get any worse. That he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is what? Clean.
That would be like an incubation period.
He's past the stage of danger. Exactly. It's over. He's all turned white. It cannot get any worse. It can't be contagious. It's not active anymore. Isn't that interesting? And the priest pronounces him clean. But because the priest pronounces him clean, you know, by the law here, he's clean. But what's the problem still? He's still covered with this disease. From head to toe. I mean, his skin is all just white. He still needs the inner cleansing, right? Now, look over very quickly here to chapter 14. Look over to chapter 14. But by the way, at the end of chapter 13, they also had to investigate the guy's clothing to see if the leprosy got into the clothing or if he's wearing like skins, like leather. Do you know, in terms of clothing, do you know what warp and woof means? Look at verse 48. Verse 47. The garment also that the plague of the leprosy is in, whether it be of woolen garments or linen garments, whether it be in the warp or woof. Do you know what the warp and woof are? That's what it is. Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. The warp, W-A-R-P, that's the lengthwise. The woof is going to be that way. So the point is that they got to look at the garments. If there's any leprosy in that, they have to burn the garments. Now, go to chapter 14 quickly. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his what? Of his cleansing. So the thing actually could be cleansed. Now, you don't get very many examples in the Old Testament of a leprosy guy cleansed, although it does happen. It happens to a Gentile king. Remember that? What he's got to do is he shall be brought into the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. Notice he's got to go outside the camp, right? The priest shall look and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed. Okay, watch this. Two birds alive and clean and cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop, the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet, the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. All right, this is fascinating. This is exciting. This guy in the day of his cleansing, the priest has got to go outside the camp where the guy, he's going to meet with the guy, and he's going to look and see if he's indeed cleansed. And if he is cleansed, then they're going to take these two living birds. And the priest is going to, of course, sacrifice the one bird, collect the blood, and then with that blood and the living bird and the hyssop and so forth, he's going to take that the living bird and he's going to put it in this blood. And then he's going to let the bird go. The kills, he's going to kill this thing over running water. You know there's nothing in your Bible by accident. Right? Only God can come up with all this. What is all this? What is all this? You've got
the two lepers, the leper, and sacrifice before the law of Moses.
Oops.
Is that significant in here?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
When Jesus sent the leper to offer sacrifice before the law of Moses,
Yes, he's doing this. He's doing this exact one right here. Okay. Okay. All right. So the one living bird that's killed, obviously the blood is shed, right? You got the blood. But that bird is killed over living running water. In the Bible, the running water is constantly a type of the living water, the type of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about that. In John 4, remember? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, that kind of a concept. John 4, John 7, a clear type and picture of the Holy Spirit. So you have the blood, you've got the water, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. Oops. A type and a picture of the Holy Spirit. So that's the dead bird. Well, what's this thing about this living bird that's dipped in the blood that flies off?
Like a scapegoat.
Like a scapegoat. That's true. But what'd you say?
Like it's not cleansed.
No.
No.
Carrying away the sin. Carrying away the sin where? You betcha. It fulfills the type perfectly. You look at the book of Hebrews, and the Lord Jesus Christ entered into heaven itself with the blood of the new covenant. Book of Hebrews. We don't have time to look at it. Isn't that incredible? And so, when the Lord Jesus Christ... by the way, let me tell you one other... man, how do we do this for time's sake here? Give me 5 more minutes here. Look what happens next. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and what? There's what? There's water baptism. He's cleansing himself, that he may be clean. And after shall he come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of the tent 7 days. But it shall, and all that's significant. So forth. He finally can come back in. Look at verse 10. And on the 8th day, a new beginning, a type of the kingdom. He shall take 2 lambs and so forth. Now watch what this guy's going to do. He's got to offer these things. Look at verse 11. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This all winds up being a type and picture of Israel's presentation to the Messiah in the kingdom. The priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and for the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 13, and he shall slay the lamb in the place where he killed the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as a sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering. The priest shall put it. Now watch what he does here. Upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot. Have we seen that concept before? What's that?
The induction of the priest.
Yes. How? What do they have to do with the induction of the priests? They anointed the tip of the right ear, the right hand, and the right toe. What do they do with this guy? Same thing. Why? Kingdom of priests is exactly correct. It's a type, and this all winds up being a type of... See, here's what happens. If you go read Isaiah chapter number 1, write that down. From head to toe, Israel's unclean. Head to toe, Israel's unclean. They've got to have somebody come and clean them from their leprosy. Only the Messiah can do it. And what's going to happen is that it takes the blood of the Messiah, the indwelling Holy Spirit... That living bird, a type of the Messiah with the blood on him, presenting his blood to the Father. And then Israel, after 7 days, the tribulation period, that 8th day, that new beginning, they're received as kings and priests into the kingdom. That's why this guy has this on the tip of the right ear, at the hand, right? And so, see all the details here. You know, there's nothing here by accident. Now, very quickly, let me have you go to Matthew 8. Let's do this quickly. And 2 Kings 5. Matthew 8 and 2 Kings 5. You just have to fill the details in your own study, because there are a lot of details here. Just so many. Okay, Matthew 8 and 2 Kings 5. Matthew 8, 2 Kings 5. And you might also want to write down Exodus chapter 4. Okay. When was the first time in your Bible that you actually see any reference to leprosy? Did you remember? The hand in the bosom, back out?
Moses.
Okay. That's Exodus 4. So you know where that's at, so we don't necessarily have to read it. That's Exodus 4. But think about what God tells Moses. He says, in connection with sending Moses to redeem Israel out of Egypt, Moses is going to be the Savior. He's going to redeem Israel. He's going to bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage, a type and a picture of being under the bondage of the Antichrist. One of the signs that he uses, he tells Moses to take and put his hand into his bosom. Moses actually takes and sticks his hand in his bosom, not just in his shirt, in his bosom. Okay, that's what the verse says. He pulls that thing out and is completely leprous. Puts it back in, comes back out. Now what? Clean. Moses, one of the great signs Moses is given is the signs of healing one of the most deadly infectious diseases, leprosy. Now, fast forward. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, right after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 8, right after the Sermon on the Mount, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knows this is the only one that can do it. Isn't that great? Jesus put forth his hand and something that would have defiled anybody else. See, even the priest wasn't supposed to go up and touch that guy when he's investigating him. He comes up and he touches him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. See what he's supposed to offer? You just read it back there in Leviticus 14. Now, why does Jesus Christ say, you don't go anywhere else except to the priest? You don't go tell anybody anything. You go right to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Why? Why does the Lord say this?
It'll work.
What's that?
It'll work.
What will work?
The offering that he brought.
It's going to work. That's true. What else? Okay. The priest is supposed to be the one that tells the nation what? Messiah's here. You see what's going on? When Christ tells this man, you go to the priest, you don't go anywhere else. Go straight to the priest. When that priest comes to you and sees you cleansed, he needs to ask a question. What's the question? Who did this? Why? How did this happen? Now, and if you look with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, look at 2 Kings 5, and look at, if you'll write down this verse, write down Malachi 2:7. It says, For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. In other words, the priest is the one who is supposed to announce to the nation Messiah is here. Well, who was the original priest that did that?
John the Baptist.
Exactly correct. Now look at 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5, this is the story of Naaman that was the leper. And he's going to wind up getting cleansed and so forth. But the question is, when Naaman sends a letter to the king of Israel saying, I want to be healed by you, the king of Israel, by the way, at this time, this king of Israel is not a good king. Okay? Notice what the question is that the king of Israel asks Naaman. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. What's his fundamental question? Why not? Because I'm not God. What's the obvious implication when the guy in Matthew 8 comes to the priest, he's cleansed. What's the obvious implication? God is in your midst. So this priest should ask this man, who did this? Take me to him immediately. That's why the Lord, when the Lord says, go and offer the gift that Moses said. Okay? We're out of time here, but You know, there's so much detail back there. It's just, go ahead, quickly. Yes, he was the son of a priest. His father was a priest, yeah. Zechariah was his father, the high priest, remember? Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're out of time. We'll start again here in about 6 or 8 minutes.